On this week's show,
I talk about how Star Trek Discovery is about to get fucked.
You guys, this is so fucking cool.
So sorry.
And we
talk about RTS games.
Bastard.
Commander, I have a surprise for you.
And inappropriate films to show your children, Nigel. What films have you been showing your children?
Football and life, thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers and geeks alike. Is this week's Monkey Nut Punch podcast. This week, I've got the lovely Nigel with me. Say hello, Nigel.
Hello, everyone.
And we've lost, what, £300-400 this week?
Yeah.
Yeah, due to a thunderstorm.
Mate, we're shredded.
We're absolutely fucking shredded as we've lost, as Keith has... didn't even bother telling us, which is the bit that kind of got us. Like, oh, no, it's a sandstorm, and I can't get the internet. And
yeah,
But we managed to contact you, Keith, the other way round. So Keith's not with us. For the minus second time this year. he's going to be fucking minus something when he gets back. All right, so we've got a couple of topics to discover. Because I've hidden them around my office. We've got a couple of topics to chat about. And one of them is Star Trek Discovery. And then we're going to talk about RTS games, because I've been playing Command & Conquer recently, and I miss RTS games. I think it's a long-forgotten genre that needs to be revived somehow. I don't know what they did plan on reviving it, and then it kind of died a death. And I'm going to talk about Gotham, because I just caught up with all of Gotham and doing a Netflix binge. From, I think it was the fourth episode of series 2, all the way to the end of series 4, was actually really enjoyable, because if I had to wait a week for those, I don't think I fucking would have been patient enough for it. And Nigel's been showing his children inappropriate material. We're going to talk about The Bourne Identity, a film series that I really love, and I'll explain when we get there. So how are we doing, Nigel? Because I've just fucking chatted right over you before you had the fucking opportunity to say hello or anything.
I said hello. I did say hello.
Did you?
You just forgot.
Okay.
Too busy chatting.
I was too busy chatting. It's because I'm having to hold my mic because for some reason the pickup's not working quite right on the setting setup. So
yeah. Otherwise you've got to bend over.
Yeah.
That's not a pretty sight.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. So Star Trek Discovery. How can I put it? CBS, oh, I can't remember what they call them, CBS Corporation, are looking at a lawsuit for Star Trek Discovery because the first half of the first season, it looks like they ripped off an indie point-and-click game called Tardigrades. And it wasn't the Tardigrade, because in the show, because you didn't watch it, Keith would be much easier to work. Keith, in the show, they had this creature, this Tardigrade, which they were using to navigate with a thing called a spore drive, which makes no fucking sense in the Star Trek universe. This Tardigrade thing looked like it was ripped off from this game Tardigrades, where it's supposed to be set like 20,000 years in the past, but it's like a civilization that's going to die out and then would come along after it. And they figure out that they could traverse space using these Tardigrade things, which would then travel down a network of sorts and fold space and create wormholes and whatnot. The game was created it got greenlit on Steam in 2014, November 21st, 2014, yeah. And the idea was supposed to be a non-linear point-and-click adventure, so you could solve puzzles and whatnot. So you got that. And in the game, they've got several characters in there. You've got the Stamix character in there. You've got his boyfriend, fucking Hugh, in there. You've got the Tilly character in there. And you've got Burnham in there, too. Burnham's character is one called Yolanda. I can't remember who Tilly's one is. But the long and the short of it is, they didn't just rip off the Tardigrade thing. They ripped off the characters too. And the guy who's an indie developer from, God, I can't remember who he's an indie developer from. His name's Anas Abedin.
Anas Abedin.
Yeah. And he's, I can't remember who he's from, like some Scandinavian country. And he's at the moment, it's like his own personal project and whatnot. And this is, this is the thing that really got me. He was being tweeted at, on Twitter about Star Trek Discovery, and he thought, oh my God, it must be a really good show. And he didn't know why people were tweeting him. Turns out people were tweeting him because they knew his game, yeah, and they'd seen and played like the kind of what the beta version of it.
Yeah.
And they found that that they had ripped off sections from it. So like in his game, ironically, they wander around in blue uniforms. Now, if you ever watched Star Trek the original series, do you know what the uniform colours are? Red's the first one that springs to mind.
Yellow?
Red, yellow, green, and blue. Yeah? A light blue.
I remember light blue.
Light blue was for the medics. But for some reason, in Star Trek Discovery, everyone was wearing blue uniforms. They didn't have a red uniform for the command... the security staff, command staff in Next Generation. Didn't have a yellowy gold one for the command staff. They didn't have a blue one for the medics. And things like that. Everyone was just wearing blue uniforms. And ironically, there's a picture of one of the characters, Yolanda, who's supposed to be Michael Burnham, and she's in a horrible fucking yellow jumpsuit, like she was in the very third episode, I'll say, because that was the pilot for all intents and purposes. The whole fucking binary star thing wasn't the proper pilot. And I'm not joking, it got to the point where I'm looking at this guy, and this guy's got a fucking lawsuit. He has got a proper lawsuit on his hands. He's been quite quiet about it. He turned around and said that he contacted CBS after, and they turned around and said, look, we'll stop using the tardigrade. Ironically, that was in the episode, that was after they'd filmed the episode where they stopped using the tardigrade. Yeah. Yeah, you're seeing bits of it on his thing. Where they weren't using the tardigrade for the series. This is what CBS said to him and his lawyer. Turned around and said, look, right, we'll stop using the tardigrade and we won't sue you.
What the hell?
Yeah. After I heard that, I went, well, fuck Star Trek Discovery. You sue them, it's the people who made Star Trek Discovery, until they have fucking no money left. It was really fucking mad. The thing is, if you look at tardigrades, any pictures of tardigrades you get, you either get the black and white ones that have been taken under like an electron microscope, or you get the ones that have been colorized, and they're kind of brownish color, not blue. So picking the blue for the uniforms and the blue for the fucking tardigrade was clearly ripping him off. Yeah. And there's a bit where what's his name, Lorca, shows Burnham how the mycelial network works, and that's fucking similar to what he did in the game. This is now here comes a funny bit, right? Because CBS dicks, they then tried throwing the previous guy who was setting up the show, who left, Michael Fuller. The previous guy who used to work on Star Trek, yeah?
Right.
And they tried to throw him under the bus, to which Michael Fuller turned around and went, no, I didn't include any of this shit in my thing. I had the spores in it, but the spores were a terraforming tool, not a drive tool. Because working on Star Trek, yeah, they all use fucking warp drives, yeah? By going into the past, retroactively then changing it and giving them a different propulsion fucking system changes the nature of the entire fucking show. Yeah? And he, knowing the show, wouldn't fucking do that because he's not stupid and he knows Star Trek. So I found that really fucking amusing that they did that. I hope this guy really genuinely gets a big payout for it.
Yeah, if I was him and somebody says to me, we'll stop using it, and if you will hear no more of it, we won't sue you, he'll be like, oh, so you're going to stop using it and then not sue me? It would be the other way around, right? If they weren't guilty, they would have said to him, you stop using it and we won't sue you.
I don't get why.
Yeah.
That's...
They've admitted guilt by saying we'll stop using that.
Because they already stopped using it by the time they said that. And the funny thing is, the guy had spent months chasing him around to get a fucking phone, get a conversation out of him. It's cool because apparently lots of lawyers looked at his work and then looked what was done on Star Trek Discovery, and they have offered their services for free. I think it's probably no win, no free thing. If we win, we'll give you, we'll take
a little bit, yeah. And they can pay our fee.
Yeah. So, and the funny thing is, apparently Star Trek Discovery cost $10 million an episode. And it does look well produced, but $10 million an episode, you're pissing away money. You're genuinely pissing away money. So I found that really fucking egregious when I looked into that. Sorry, I just had a fucking momentary spasm there more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think, well, this guy, Anubis, whatever his name is, Anis Anubis, whatever. Yeah.
Anis Abedin.
Yeah, Anis Anabedin.
Yeah.
He may have a really strong case, especially if the lawyers are coming out of nowhere saying, we'll do a no win, no fee thing for you. Yeah. Although that is the thing nowadays, though. But maybe not in a US.
Most of the good lawyers, they can see an easy win case, and they'll take it because they probably look at that and go, that's an easy win. Which isn't good news for CBS or Paramount, because they have to get investors to fork up the money for the films and TV shows. Now, Netflix paid, I think it was $110 million for Star Trek Discovery, and they weren't fucking happy with what they bought. So $110 million, I think it was about $110 million, and that covered their production. So they wiped out the production fee. Naturally, Netflix had turned around and gone, it's not as fucking good as you, we're not giving the same amount of money. So now they have to fork out the other half of the fucking production thing. And they're not getting money off of merchandising, and they're not getting money off of fucking Blu-ray sales or anything like that. So it's interesting, because that also then with this lawsuit happening, and then with Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth turning around saying, we're not doing Star Trek 4, trying to encourage an investor to invest to trump up cash. They can't get money out of China. They've been banned, Paramount have, apparently. So the Chinese government at the same rate goes, you're not taking any fucking money from our country. And, you know, they're quite authoritarian, so that's a definite fucking no.
That's a no.
Yeah, and they're not gonna, they can't distribute it there. So there's a massive audience just lost. And now they've got to deal with the whole ripping off someone's work.
They might use VPN over there, but then if they do that, then it's all on the black market, isn't it? On the dark web.
Well, the Chinese government will turn a blind eye to counterfeiting and torrenting and whatnot, which is, you know,
yeah, they just don't want it to be officially released over there. Whereas they'll just allow people to just torrent the thing.
Yeah, well, see, it's more the fact that the box office from the cinema that they lose.
Yeah.
Because it's like Star Wars.
And any DVD sales.
Well, like Avengers made a ton of money out there. Star Wars is dead over there because Chinese don't get it.
No.
This is shit. What if you've got an ugly Asian woman stunning people and smashing into them so they can't, you know, save anyone? That's how they see it. It's like kind of the black character. Why couldn't one of the things they said was the black character. Why can't it be Will Smith? We like Will Smith. And I'm like, that would actually make an interesting film, actually.
I quite like Will Smith. Yeah, he could play anything, really.
He could have fucking run away with the whole thing.
Although it would be the Will Smith show again, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be the Will Smith show. All right, I've hopped on long enough about tardigrades and Star Trek STD long enough. RTS games. I've been playing Command & Conquer. I've been playing Command & Conquer. I mean, the original Command & Conquer, Red Alert, and the Tiberian Wars 3. And I fucking miss RTS games.
I used to play that Red Alert when I was little.
Little.
Cheers, Keith. Yeah, when I was a youngster, used to play a little bit of Red Alert. The original ones, I think. And which game was it where you had Tanya?
That's Red Alert.
That's the original Red Alert. Yeah. I remember having her, and you go, oh, you're giving Tanya. It's like, what? What's Tanya? And then it's a single unit who can decimate people at fairly decent range and just kill off groups of people. And you're going, hey, she's quite good. And then you click her on a building, and she can
destroy the
put
building.
TNT on there and run off and then detonate it, and you'll destroy a building. So if you had a Tanya in your team and you're playing against somebody or AI or whatever, she was pretty devastating.
Yeah.
And I used to enjoy RTS quite a bit, but I haven't got not the patience. I haven't got the aptitude to play RTS very well.
When I started playing a game, I had to put it on fucking easy because I had to reteach myself how to play RTS. So it was on easy, and I was playing it, and it got to a point where I'm going, this is easy. This is actually too easy. I need to change difficulty back up to where it was. I think I've eased myself back into it.
I can remember one recent RTS.
Okay,
StarCraft.
What, StarCraft 2? Yeah. Did you play that?
I never played it. I never played StarCraft or StarCraft 2. However, it is an RTS.
No, that must be 2009.
But it's still very popular, and it's especially popular in South Korea.
God, they fucking love that.
They absolutely. But they have proper. I think is there StarCraft 3? I don't know.
2010. It's 8 years old. The last time we got decent fucking RTS was 8 years old.
Is there a StarCraft 3?
I don't think there's a StarCraft 3. The thing is, I think they've been talking about it.
They've been playing this game for quite a while. Well, since it came out, actually, 2010. But before that, StarCraft. Massive over in Asia. You think esports is fairly new?
Yeah.
Over there, they've been doing it for maybe 20 years, right? And the prize money that they were giving out for that StarCraft, just to be one of the best, was fucking phenomenal. Huge amount of money.
Yeah,
they're absolute stars over there, and
yeah, I always found it a bit weird because you'd always hear the story of the Asian guy dying in a fucking internet cafe.
Oh yeah.
Because they're exhausted playing World of Warcraft or StarCraft. Yeah. It was one of the two of those.
They really get addicted. Yeah.
Why did they never do a World of StarCraft?
No
idea. Do a World of StarCraft, you just have different planets instead of fucking islands.
Yeah. World of Warcraft is still going.
I'd just like to point out, Blizzard, Activision Blizzard, if you come up with the World of StarCraft, I fucking called it. And you owe me money. 0.5% of your gross profit will do.
Yeah, just half.
Just 0.5%. That's not much in the grand scheme of things. The last new RTS game I played was a game called Grey Goo, which was released in 2015. But I didn't buy it in 2015. I bought it in late 2016 because it was on Humble Bundle. It was like, oh, RTS. I'll have one of them.
Actually, any good? Or?
Yeah, it is actually. It was I was thinking about it, and it's like kind of shit. That's the last good one. The problem is it's an indie game. And
they don't get much coverage in indie games.
No, they don't. It's good because it was done by was it Greybox? Yeah, I think. Oh no, sorry. Petroglyph Gaming. I'm sure it was fucking different. Petroglyph Gaming, and I'm hoping they do a Grey Goo 2. I'm just going on the website now, just have a cheeky look. So they've got Grey Goo 2, and they've got.
God, what else was there? Warhammer? No, is it Warhammer?
Oh, Warhammer. That was it. You get here because you've got Warhammer and Total War. Okay, maybe the Warhammer games I may have bypassed.
Possibly. I think I did at one point have Warhammer. I played it with my mate who is into all that, Space Marine stuff.
You had the Warhammer strategy game by the same people who did Alien Isolation. I can't remember the name of the company now. That literally, we can drive around the corner and sit in their car park. Yeah. And they're that close to me.
Pretty close.
And I can't fucking remember them at all, which is really annoying. It's Alien Isolation was the game they made because I want them to do another one. I'm desperate for them to do another one, but they specialise in strategy games. It was really weird that they did Alien Isolation considering they specialise in strategy games.
Alien Isolation, you could consider fairly strategic.
Yeah.
The way you've got to move around the ship and hide and move and get stuff. It's just slightly different. But.
Yeah. Mm. So, Creative Assembly. That was it. Creative Assembly. Oh, shit. Well, it didn't make a blimey difference. Yeah, Creative Assembly. They came up with it. And it was great because if you see like the making of documentary, they described the alien as in they gave the alien a complete skill set. So the alien knows to look in the cupboards, under chairs and tables and this, that, the other. But what they do is, as you were playing the game, they would unlock the alien skill set as it goes up. So the alien
gets harder.
Yeah, the alien gets a progressive skill set as it goes up. So when you you get more stuff, it gets more stuff to try and level the playing field out. When they described it, like, because they said when you play Alien Isolation, play on the hardest difficulty to have the best thing of the game. So I played it on the hardest difficulty, and the Creative Assembly. Oh, I'm gonna have to go and drive down to Creative Assembly's car park now and just stand out there. And go, oh, I want Alien Isolation 2, please.
Yeah. Can I shake everyone's hand? I loved Alien Isolation. I do.
Yeah.
Love it. I'll just shake everyone's hand as you're walking in the building. I don't care if you're the caterer.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have to. Yeah, I do have to check to see if they're going to do an Alien Isolation 2.
Oh, you never know. Yes. Might do. It was very popular. Alien Isolation 2.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Okay, it's all right. I got the towns confused. It's still nearer than I thought it was.
Or are you thinking of the people who made the massive flop of the year? No, what's it? Fucking Flight Sim, not Flight Sim.
Flight Sim?
Multiple Planets, Infinity Planets.
Hello Games is Hello in Games. Guildford, which is still a bit further away, but I'm sure there was one, another one. We have tons
of... There is one that's nearby.
There
is one that's nearby here.
I'm actually just tempted to knock on the door.
It's over in Chertsey.
Ubisoft, they've got Ubisoft over in Chertsey, but that's Ubisoft, not... developer, that's the distributor sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they did have EA literally on a roundabout near where I am, and it was in the same building. I'm sure we've covered this before, but it was in the same building that they filmed part of Inception. Now, the bit where he takes her inside the dream, Gordon Love Hewitt's character, and he shows her that you can build a staircase that leads nowhere.
Right.
And it looks like they filmed that in what was EA's reception before they moved, because the local council wouldn't offer them stuff to stay there. But hey. Okay. All right. Maybe RTS isn't as dead as I think. Maybe it's the fact that there are no Command & Conquer RTS games apart from that stupid fucking mobile game coming out.
Could be. It could be that. Because you enjoy that one.
Yeah.
And there was another one.
Warhammer, StarCraft, Red Alert, Command & Conquer, Generals... Fuck, Grey Goo.
Yeah, there is another...
See if I can beat you to it. I know you're Googling to try and find it.
Company of Heroes.
Oh, yes, Company of Heroes. I know a salesman at work who fucking loves Company of Heroes. He calls it Company of Legends. It's one of his favourite fucking strategy games.
I got Company of Heroes on the Humble Bundle, I think.
I got Company of Heroes. Did you? I got it for free. I fucking love that.
I think I got them for free, but I can't remember.
I love that when they do
it. Company of Heroes?
Yeah, it's Company of Heroes. Because I got the pack too, because I got all the add-ons for it. I'm sure. But yeah, Company of Heroes is another one. All right, okay, it's not as dead as I originally thought, but I do miss it. I was playing, the Command & Conquer Tiberian Wars, and it had fucking, you know Billy Dee Williams is, don't you? Lando Calrissian in Star
Lando.
Wars.
Yeah, right.
It's got him in there, and he's in charge of GDI. As their the kind of makeshift president, because Kane wiped everyone out, and the bad, it's really weird because it's when you play with the bad guys, yeah, the bad guys are kind of how do I put it, super sexy uber people, and then you play as the GDI and they're regular people, and I kind of find that quite novel, and then the other thing too is I was playing Red Alert, and there's a bit in Red Alert at the very beginning where you're doing a mission, and Kane wanders in and whispers in Stalin's ear, which I was like, what? You're in the wrong game, mate.
Oh, mate, we've forgotten something completely.
What have we gotten?
Total War.
Ah, yes,
Total War. Some of the biggest artists. And then you've also got Rome. Rome.
And then the Homeworld games.
Yeah.
Just remember that when you said... Rome Total War, because it was Medieval Total War, which I remember us playing at work. Well, not playing at work, playing when we were working together.
And the one that Keith always feels that he's beating you on.
What was
Homeworld.
Homeworld. He never fucking beat me at homework. I had a strategy once. I developed a strategy and it freaked him the fuck out because he didn't think I'd do it. Because he was like sitting in this asteroid belt building his fleet up. Yeah, so what I did is I took my mothership, which was, this was on Cataclysm, so it was the beast's mothership, yeah? And they've got like long-range torpedoes.
Yeah.
Which you can fire at put things. The problem is they're not invisible or anything, so you can see them pretty much as they fucking appear. So I figured, right, what I'll do is if I hyperspace next to him, and then I just unload them where he has no chance of countering him, and I destroyed him in one fucking go. To which he was like, "I didn't think of that." And I was like, "No, you didn't."
Yeah.
So yeah, Homeworld will kick your ass at it. We need to have a competitive fucking playthrough.
Something a little bit bringing you back, Populous.
Yeah, well, what's his mush tried to redo Populous?
There might have been a few more. There is another few Populous.
He did try to do another Populous game, but the thing is, I don't count them as strategy games because they're like god games.
Yeah, same with Settlers as well. It's not quite.
Yeah,
it's similar, but not quite.
There was Age of Empires. That was another good one.
Yeah, Age of Empires.
Oh, I did enjoy Age of Empires.
Nowadays, they've sort of changed from being an RTS, where you're controlling everything, into a MOBA. Haven't they? They've sort of migrated a little bit.
It has kind of mutated, shall we say.
Yeah, it's mutated
It mutated into the MOBA, because if you look at...
League of Legends.
What's the other one? Oh, there's been loads. The one that you Dota. Played on Dota. That was it. Thank you.
Yeah, Dota and Dota 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a few.
The other thing too, just to before we go into Gotham and the Bourne Identity, I've been playing. I had a quick go on Black Ops 3 last night. The multiplayer in it's fucking terrible. And the reason the multiplayer is terrible on it, because it wants to be Titanfall, yeah? But right. It hasn't got the balls to commit to being Titanfall. And there's something, they have like invisible walls on there. So you can do like, knowing Titanfall, you can run alongside the buildings, jump off and all that shit, yeah? But they put that in there, but they haven't implemented it completely. I was playing it, and you're playing it in like a bombed out German village.
Mm.
And there's a bit where there's a gate. And I thought, well, I'll just jump over the gate, because I've got the option to jump over. There was an invisible fucking wall. So I jumped over the gate, yeah? And I'm stuck against this invisible wall, and this person then shoots me. And I'm like, this is bollocks.
Yeah.
And it's like, kind of, if you're going to do it, commit to it. Otherwise, turn the fucking thing off, because it doesn't work. Yeah? It's like, you think, like you could jump on top of buildings and snipe from the top of buildings.
Right.
You think, oh, well, I get nice. I can climb up here, because it's the easy way up. I can get on top of this building and snipe the fuckers. Yeah? Nope. No, invisible wall stops you climbing up it. Why? What's wrong with me climbing up the top of the building? There's nothing wrong with climbing.
Because you're not playing the game they want you to play.
See, that's what annoyed me, because if I was climbing on top of the building, a clever fucker could run underneath, fire through the ceiling, and shoot me. Which I thought, oh, this would be epic. And then did it. No. The maps are small and crowded, and I'm literally, there's one map that they had, I can't remember what it's called. But like, I think it's called the Fridge Midnight or something. And there's another map which is exactly the same, but during the day. But they've changed it around. So it's not the same. So it's the same map, but it's got the same train section, same bit where it's got two houses opposite, down a corridor and whatnot. The design is fucking terrible. The map design is terrible. You compare it to Titanfall, because I play Titanfall. And the great thing about Titanfall is they did what you described. This is what brought me onto it. They did what they did with Dota, where you have little NPC characters that you can shoot. And the idea is that you shoot them, you build up your level, and then you can call your Titan down.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then when you get your Titan, you can fucking merry havoc.
Yeah.
And
it gives everyone the opportunity to get a Titan, because if somebody who is better at RTS, if anyone is better at FPS games, and they can shoot more accurately or whatever, then they'll kill people, get their Titan, and then decimate everybody because nobody's got a Titan.
Yeah.
Whereas this levels the playing field a little bit, and gives people who are not so skilled, like myself, to shoot bots, grunts, whatever you call them, to build up not quite as quickly, because I don't think you get quite as many points if you kill a bot to a person.
No, it's like a tenth of what you get for a person.
Yeah, but you can still do it, but then you mix and match
And then everyone commits to max. And then everyone can... You still build up points and stuff. So yeah. I thought it was a fairly decent system. I enjoyed playing Titanfall.
But this is the thing with Black Ops, is they wanted that, but they didn't want everyone climbing all over the fucking scenery. And they didn't want to put the robots in there. And then they didn't want to put the grunts in there. And it's like, kind of... Dude, you just like, you're literally a fucking poor shadow of fucking Titanfall 2.
Yeah, and Titanfall 2, you got all your DLC for free, didn't you?
I think you got your maps, extra maps.
Extra maps, right.
I'm sure they did the extra maps for
maybe
free.
Not all DLC, yeah.
No, because they had things like the Titan skins, which they're making money off
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And it's annoying because I don't know how Titanfall...
I think it was more expansions, wasn't it?
Well, I think it was it was just decoration. It was decorative art asset shit. Nothing too key to the game, which I found annoying. But again, Black Ops 3 is just a shadow of what Titanfall is.
Because that's the one we got for free on PlayStation.
Yeah, that's the reason
I
played
to play it. Yeah,
because Gavin was kind of, we should play it. And we should like do zombies and whatnot. And it's like, well, I thought I'd get some fucking practice in before I get my ass fucking handed back to me, basically, because I've been playing RTSs, and RTSs, your brain's wired different for an RTS.
Yeah,
you're doing more like like management at work, opposed to water pistol fights.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I only did the first mission on it and started playing other stuff, but I've still got it installed.
Yeah, well, we should try zombies. We should give zombies a go, because I think zombies it'll be good for a laugh.
I'm up for that. We'll get Gav. Gav, if you're listening, and you probably are.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah, we'll do the get on do the zombie bit.
We always shit at zombies anyway.
But you need a whole squad to do zombies properly.
I think you do. So you can cover your bases a bit better.
Yeah, and all you have to do is then just have everyone maintain positions and, you know...
Maybe flip between... And you got one person on one on another... One person running between the two going, do you need anything, sir? Yeah.
But either way, you need it. I like the what's it, missions that you had on Warfare 2. No, when you had the you and your mate team up and do a mission from the game.
A co-op mission, yeah.
But co-op. I like that. I did that with Malcolm a lot, actually, because it was a case of you just had five waves of enemies and whatnot. Anyway, we've kind of wandered into FPS territory by accident.
Oops.
But that's good. Gotham. I'll try to be quick on Gotham so you can have some time to talk about Bourne Identity.
We don't have to talk too much about Bourne. But
yeah, this is the thing. I watched Gotham, the first series. I watched it on Netflix. And I watched the whole of the first series on Netflix, and I really enjoyed it. And then I watched the second series. I've watched the first half of the second series on Netflix, and then I kind of watched it on TV. And then I found myself kind of falling away from it. So I'd like record like 3 weeks work and then go do 3 weeks. And I watched that. And then I started watching the third series, and then I just lost interest. And then it was on Netflix, and it was kind of, oh, you should watch Gotham. I think you'd like Gotham. You've watched Gotham before. Why don't you watch Gotham? Everything's an algorithm now. It's no longer filed in alphabetical order. It's an algorithm. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. So I was like, all right, so it's not even in chronological order. So I went, okay, I'll give it another go. So I started watching it, and I watched the third series, and I really fucking enjoyed it. I can't remember any of it now. I started talking about it. All I can remember is at the end of the third series, they got to the point where you could have ended Gotham at the end of the third series. If you watched the last episode of that third series, it looks like you could have ended it there, and then it could have gone into the Batman era and been like that. And then I watched the fourth series, and I really fucking enjoyed that, especially the Jeremiah characters, who were the Jokers for all intents and purposes. And you had that apparently in the Batman universe there are three Jokers. Yeah, one is he's just a psychopath who dresses up as the Joker. And kills people as he sees. So it's like, tomorrow I will kill Detective so-and-so. And then tomorrow he just stands up and kills Detective so-and-so, yeah? Very cold and thingy. And if you look at the Batman comics, you can see quite clearly that you have this Joker in there. Then you have the anarchic Joker, yeah? Who's like, he's like the Jack Nicholson, the guy from the TV show. where he's like kind of always like, oh, comedy, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and it's doing silly things with teeth and whatnot.
A little bit like Heath Ledger.
No, Heath Ledger's the third type of Joker, right. Who's the agent of Chaos Joker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's like three kind of things, because he laughs and whatnot, but he's not ha-ha funny, if that makes sense.
Psychotic.
Well, he's trying to just cause absolute fucking anarchy.
Yeah.
Because look at that, he fucked up whole cities and whatnot. And in the fourth series of it, you get to see the Jerome Joker, who is the agent of Chaos Joker. And then you get to see the Jeremiah version of the Joker, because they're twins, yeah? Who is the psychopath Joker. And it's weird, because the psychopath Joker gets things... is more efficient at getting things done, because he's much more kind of clean cut and that. And they did it fantastic, because you got to the end of the fourth series, and they set up, for all intents and purposes, and don't take this against me, but they set up Arkham Knight. No, Arkham Knight, the game, they separate the island off, right. And then the criminals are pretty much running wild across of the city of Gotham. That's what they've done. They've literally done that. They set it up, and then they've got, like, kind of the police station, which is pretty much under siege, and will be under siege in the new series, I hope. And then you've got all these little people who've set up their own little kind of domains. So the Penguin set up his little empire, and Barbara Keane and her lot have set up their own empire and whatnot. I actually found it really good, but I don't think I could have watched it weekly. I don't think I'd have watched it with adverts in either. It would have just put me off. But watching it one after the other made it much more fucking entertaining. So it's weird. It's weird, because I said, if on TV, week after week, I don't think I would have watched it. Sorry, man, I'm running roughshod over you. I can see you looking at me going, do I get a fucking smoke?
Not seen Gotham. No. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Go and watch it on Netflix. It's.
I'll try and have a...
It's one of those ones that I recommend skipping the first six episodes. Watch the first episode, and then after that, jump to number 7. And then you should be okay, because the other ones are dull as shit. But that's, you know, sometimes writers and producers and whatnot of TV shows have to find their feet. Okay.
Yeah.
So I confessed that I showed my kid Deadpool, and he loved it. And now apparently you've been showing your children inappropriate material.
The Bourne Identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it basically came... We were looking for something to watch on Netflix. And I saw the latest Bourne film, just called Jason Bourne, with Matt Damon. Now, we know there was a Bourne film out without Matt Damon in, which sort of looks a little bit back... A little bit further back.
That's where the guy plays Jeremy Renner in it. Is it the one who plays Hawkeye?
I can't remember his name. I can't remember the name of the film either. But it sort of runs almost maybe concurrently with the first film, because there's a bit where they start. He finds his feet. He's trying to find his feet through some trials to become an agent, and he meets another agent at. An alpine ski ranch or whatever. I don't know if you remember that. And the people at Langley or whatever send a missile down and blows up the place that he's staying. And he got out in time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they sort of like run concurrently with what's happening with the first film, I think. And that's the only one without Matt Damon. And the one we saw on Netflix was the latest one. I can't remember what the name was.
Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy.
Probably Jason Bourne.
Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne Legacy, Jason Bourne.
The Bourne Legacy is the one without him in it.
Okay. So that's the Jeremy Renner one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I can see.
So then you've got Jason Bourne, which I haven't seen yet, which is the latest one with Matt Damon. And that was on Netflix. And I started looking at it, and we started looking at it going, because the kids have been watching Mission Impossible. There's nothing really wrong with Mission Impossible, except for Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise in the third film, and actually the third film was fucking, the one that J.J. Abrams did was the worst fucking one.
We watched the first one because it's, you know, they like that sort of film, which, you know, because there's a lot going on actually for that age group to sort of consider the smart things going on.
The first film is probably the hardest one for them to get a grip with, because in the first film you had two directors. One director who was trying to do like a spy thriller, and then they turned around and goes, "We really want an action thriller." And he went, "Oh, okay." So he left halfway through, and Tom Cruise finished the film off. He took up directing duties and finished the film off, which that's pretty impressive. I like it.
Yeah, I like Mission Impossible. I say what you like about Tom Cruise and his affiliation with people, but I quite like the films.
It's the third one I don't like, because the third one is a mess. The only thing that's good about that is the interrogation scene with Philip Seymour Hoffman in the plane. It's fucking brilliant. Outside that, nothing hit me, because J.J. Abrams overused fucking shaky cam, so I couldn't see what the fuck was going on. And it's like, I love the fact that all the other ones have like dropped that shaky cam bullshit. Sorry.
But it was, you know, and I thought, do you know what? We could watch this. However, you've got no context on what's going on and why what is going on is going on, if you know what I mean. So I've got on DVD the three prequels. Well, I've got one, two, or three on DVD. So I bust out a DVD, whacked it in the PlayStation, and we said, right, we'll watch the first one, see how that goes. I have to explain little bits here and there in the Bourne Identity to explain why he's got amnesia. I don't know what amnesia is anyway, but, you know, all that sort of stuff, and how he's finding his feet. Why he can't remember who he is, but he can remember how to do things like read, write, fight, talk.
Yeah.
Different languages, all that sort of stuff. And he went through, and not once were the kids bored in the film.
Yeah.
I know you have a wholly different experience with that
film. I'll tell you about that in a moment.
But, my kids seem to have a better attention span than Gareth when it comes to Bourne Identity.
Don't throw shade on me yet. You can throw shade after I explain it, then you can throw shade on me.
Well, they really enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
And I like the film anyway, because it's action-y. I quite like action-y films. So the next one will be the second film, because obviously it's a bit shocking the start of the second film, I think, because they find him and the girl that he met and drove the Mini in, you know.
Oh, do you know what? I was thinking about the second Mission Impossible film. He was on top of a thing climbing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were playing some like fucking heavy metal Metallica music with that too.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, it's Jason Bourne. Shit.
Jason Bourne is not in Mission Impossible.
I know.
So he brought a mashup.
That actually sounds more interesting to have the two of them
meet. Yeah, yeah. They met.
Yeah.
Film franchise idea. Copyrighted. Yeah, give us a couple of percent each. That's fine. The second one, I think it starts a bit shocking. Maybe,
yeah, because it starts, they crash their Fiat 500 into the river.
Yeah, and the only reason why she gets shot is because they switch places and they shoot the driver.
Well, you can see her face through a fucking sniper scope. That's one of the things.
They were shooting from behind through the headrest.
Really?
If you remember. That's what I remember.
I can't remember.
They switched when he wasn't looking at the car. I think he was switching position. Gets into a position to get a good shot. During that time he was switching, they switched so that he could try and fight back or whatever. And she's driving, and then he shoots, thinking he's still the driver, through the headset.
Headset. You could see
listening
with
to cool
head
music. Yeah.
Just going to this dubstep while he's happening. Yeah. Dubstep's playing at the back.
And that was it. And then they go off and into the water, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with her, realises she's dead. And he's taking air from the tyres in the water.
God. He couldn't be able to do it now. He wouldn't have to do it with my tyres. They're full of nitrogen.
Yeah. Well, back then. Yeah.
Okay,
well,
yeah, back then. Okay. But I was going to say, now
you know, that's the
second
film.
If it was me and him in the Audi and I was his love interest and I got shot, yeah, and then they tried sucking fucking nitrogen out of it, he'd just die.
Yeah. Bad idea, mate.
He couldn't MacGyver his way out of that. See, I don't like The Bourne Identity, because The Bourne Identity is the only film, like one of two films, that I have fallen asleep in the cinema watching because I found it that boring. And not only did I fall asleep, my wife fell asleep and my friend Malcolm also fell asleep watching it. We were just that fucking bored that all three of us fell asleep in the film. We paid to see it and I was just like, kind of, it's because I think the Ludlam story of the Bourne Identity has been around for quite a while, and TV shows have kind of ripped that shit off a lot. Yeah, so he may have come up with the idea back in the 80s, because I think there was a film in 82 or 88, I can't remember. What was it? 88, The Bourne Identity. They did The Bourne Identity, and it had, what was his name? I think it's Richard Chamberlain, who's a really creepy looking actor. If you wanted to cast an evil Batman, that's who you cast.
He is an evil looking bloke. Yeah. You know.
So they did that. So 1988 they did that. And I'm sure I've seen it in many TV shows and cop dramas where they've done similar things.
I didn't realise there was another one.
I think I might have seen that on ITV ages ago when I was younger. But I watched that, and considering I knew the story, and it was like kind of who had done this to me? Who could have done this to me? You did it yourself. You volunteered for something. Yeah, it's quite clearly it volunteered for something. See, now I would have changed the story and turned around and says you were a criminal on death row, yeah, and if you didn't volunteer for this, you were gonna die, yeah. And if you don't not volunteer for this and you don't do as we're saying, we're allowed to kill you because technically you're already dead. Something along those lines. I think that actually might have been done also.
quite possibly. Yeah.
It had been done. La Femme Nikita, the French film with the bird in it. Yeah, that had been done before. Because they did another one. I can't remember what they called, the Assassin or something. God, I'm going back to the... I'm re-watching everything on VHS in my head. But because I'd heard of these sort of things before and I'd watched these things before.
Well, these sort of films that I've obviously grown up with. I like action films. They're sort of my bag. I like that sort of thing, so I don't really find them too boring. But if I do find an action film boring, it's really shit.
Yeah.
Like, really shit. I mean, that held my attention, and I've watched that a few times, and I'm still watching it going, hey, I quite like it.
Yeah. Even so with Matt Damon. You've got far more fucking patience than me. The other one I fell asleep in was... The Heat. Have you seen that one?
No.
It's there's a rip off of another film.
The Cold.
No, it was like LA Showdown or something, which I watched it, and because they set up so many things, they had a 20-minute backstory for a character who gets shot in the first 5 minutes of a bank robbery. There's a whole 20 thing. It's like, kind of, dude, you could have chopped that out. I think the other thing too is
they
the other part of it too is I think when I watched it in the cinema. They didn't have any air conditioning and it was fucking muggy in there.
Yeah.
And I fell asleep, but I woke up because the fucking gunfight towards the end was epic.
There was a film which I... The only film I've ever walked out of, not even bothered. But I went with somebody I knew. Oh God, I must have been 21, something like that. It was a Bounty Hunter film with Keira Knightley. I can't remember the name of it. I need to look this up.
Okay.
Now. Because it was... She got so bored within about half an hour. She was, like, ready to leave. And she didn't say anything. She just got up and... she got up and left and was like...
That was a fucking date going well there.
Well, it wasn't a date. She was a mate. Domino.
Isn't that where Keira Knightley's a stripper?
Keira Knightley.
That's one thing. That's a film I've got to see. That's something on the list.
Keira Knightley, a former model, is now a bounty hunter who has been arrested for robbing an armoured car. Yeah. During interrogation, she claims innocence and tells her story. So... That was that. I didn't get to see the rest of it. I wasn't too bothered by it. But it was a little bit slow, a little bit boring, probably because of the whole I'm telling a story thing. And, yeah. That's literally... Otherwise, I don't try and watch all films.
So. Yeah. I'm trying to think of like a few kind of really good action films which don't have sci-fi twists in them, because most of the action films are like Terminator, no sci-fi twist.
Sci-fi.
Predator, no sci-fi twist. Aliens, no sci-fi twist.
The Expendables.
Right back up. Expendables. It's a bit gay.
It's so old-fashioned. All-out action.
Last Action Hero.
Last Action Hero. No, a sci-fi twist on that one because of the jumping from different worlds.
From different, yeah.
It's quite hard. Because Arnie's done some great ones. And anyone I can think of hit, the two actually, Raw Deal and... Raw Deal and Commando.
Commando, yeah.
Commando's brilliantly terrible. And it's only because Arnold Schwarzenegger runs out into the open, kills everyone, where all the others are behind cover.
Die Hard.
Die Hard's great. Die Hard's the best Christmas movie ever.
It is the best Christmas movie.
No, fuck
ho,
it.
Ho, 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 motherfuckers. Was now it? I've got a machine gun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Die Hard is a good one. Die Hard 2, Die Hard 3. Yeah,
Die Hard 2, Die Hard 3. Die Harder. Do you know what? 4. I've not seen Die Hard or
right.
Die Hard
4.0. No, Die Hard 3. Mm. The ending of Die Hard 3, that's the one with the Simple Simon.
One?
No, that's 2. Die Hard 3 is the one set in New York. And it's the guy blowing stuff up with the red bomb, with the red shit that mixed. Yeah, he's in a taxi with Samuel L. Jackson, and they have to figure out the puzzles.
Yeah.
And, that one, that had a different ending, because at the end of the film, it looked like the bad guy won. And I'll be honest with you, I would have gone, the bad guy wins. Time for a sequel, where he tracks him down. That would be the sequel. He tracks him down and fucking gets the fucking cash back and gets his fucking revenge. Yeah, he managed to survive his fucking day of terror. Oh, and now John McClane's bringing a day of terror. But they decided to have some weird thing where he's at the Canadian border. Yeah, and they have like a gunfight, a really shitty gunfight. But that end was different because John McClane lets him get away and then he tracks him down to like Switzerland. And he has a conversation with him and then brings him in that way, which, okay, it's not as good sequel bait. Yeah. Because I would have had it, he gets away, and that would have been the end. So you could have a sequel of him tracking
him
down.
Even if in the next one, he tracks him down, has a chat with him, brings him in, and then something else happens, and he goes off and does something else.
Yeah, it was really... I love... The Die Hard films are great. I'm trying to think of another... just one more action film that isn't sci-fi. True Lies. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
God, well, I can't remember that.
True Lies is the one where the terrorist gets the nuclear bomb and his wife, he's a secret agent, and he thinks his wife is having an affair with this dodgy Bill Paxton, and he sets her up as a spy, and then they kind of get roped into it, and his daughter gets kidnapped by the main terrorist person, and they kind of take him down. That was a great film. How can you not remember that one? Harrier Jumpjet. He flew a Harrier fucking Jumpjet.
True Lies is something that I am going to have to watch.
You have to find True Lies because True Lies is fucking awesome.
I've probably seen it many years ago, but that came out in the '80s or mid '90s.
Mid '90s for that one.
Yeah.
Because it was like, everyone was like, James Cameron, can you get back to directing action films? He did that, and then he did fucking Titanic, and then he made Avatar, and then he's now complaining at the state of fucking Hollywood. He's like, James, there's one person who in this room that could actually fix... state of Hollywood, and that's you fuckwit. I don't like superhero films, then fucking make the second Avatar film or something else.
Make a sequel to Titanic.
Yeah, but seriously, make a sequel to Titanic, you know, I don't know, in space, or
yeah,
collides with a comet or shit like that.
He is somebody who could definitely
he did Avatar, and it fucking made ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah, same with Titanic. He's made a few absolute blockbusters.
Yeah. Anywho, let's wrap this bastard up, put a bow on it. Anything you want to say?
Thanks for listening.
And you'll hear from us in the future podcast. Maybe we'll gain another 300 and something pounds. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.